Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by HESA team. My name is Felix Ocheng, and as usual, I'm your host as we talk about Markets Monday. Markets Monday, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, it's a podcast that gives you an overview of events that have happened over the weekend, events that happened last week that are likely to impact the market directly as we trade within the week. The first news that we would want to talk about today is Safaricom's entrance into Ethiopia. And then I'm also seeing this morning there's news that Standard Chartered Bank Kenya has released their financial results, the Q1 results, something that we are going to be looking on, very impressive as well. Also, another thing that we will be looking into as we pick up on Markets Monday is how various shares listed on the Nairobi Securities Exchange are performing at open. As we start, one thing that you need to know is you can pick up all our podcasts, previous Markets Mondays. You can be able to check this out on the HESA app. You can download HESA app. HESA app is basically just another mobile app that you have, but it has super features. We let you listen to various things like podcasts here and there. Another thing that you get is market data. When we talk about market data and we talk about how markets are performing, how various stocks have moved in here and there, you definitely might want to check out HESA, because whatever data we'll be analyzing and talking about today is way available on the HESA app. Finally, one advantage of the HESA app is that it lets you have a lot of discussions as well. So you can always be able to ask questions. Those discussions that we have, just like you might ask them on a Facebook forum, you have fellow investors on HESA and they're always open to allow you have this discussion with them. So welcome to today's session. The first thing that I'll be looking on to is how the market performed last week. We saw a little bit of flat activity on the Nairobi Securities Exchange. I know most of you might probably be wondering what we probably mean by flat activity. The all share index of the Nairobi Securities Exchange, that is NASI, remained flat during the week. So, okay, not really during the week. There were changes that happened with NASI, but as at close of Friday, the all share index was basically at the same points that it was at on the previous week. So that's how that's what we mean when we say that NASI was flat during the week. But then we're seeing the other market indices really had a little bit of a decline. We saw the NSE 20 share index decline by about 0.2%. That's week on week. So that's one thing as well that we would really be looking into. And why is it that, I know you might probably be asking, why would we have NASI flat and we're seeing other indices like the NSE 25 and the NSE 20? All possibly post a little bit of a decline. The NSE 20 share index was down about 4.38 points, closing the week at 1858.87, and the NSE 25 was down, I think, marginally, about 0.18 points to close the week at 3586.44 basis points. I think this was also due to a little bit of a decline in some of the major companies that were trading flat as well, and also some of them posted a decline. Companies that have been really supporting the indices, like Bamburi Cement, for example, Unga Group. There was news on Friday about Unga Group having a little bit of a sort of restructuring internally, and then this actually saw the stock come down about 11.95% during the week. Unga Group is now trading at about 28 shillings, up from 31 shillings and 80 cents, where it was trading at on the week before. Another company that also was on the decline was Bamburi Cement. I think Bamburi is also another company that we know has been on the rise for couple of months now, and so it looks like probably what we can say is a correction. But also on the other hand, what you need to know is that Bamburi Cement actually had a few corporate actions that were coming in as well, and I believe that when we were with Davis, we talked about the half year results a few weeks ago. So you can also be able to check out the previous podcast as well on Bamburi, as we talked about this. Also, if you're looking on, I think we also had a discussion about this the previous week on Friday. So continues to come. And also, During the Bulls Bands and Whiskey, which is held every Wednesday, we talked about the cement industry. That was about a month ago, where we had a little bit of activity on of the cement industry. One of the things that might have affected the share price decline on Bamburi is that Bamburi had their books close on the 16th of May. So Bamburi announced a first and final dividend of 3 shillings per share. That was on 20th of April when they announced their financial results, the full year results. That was in the half year results. The books for Bamburi closed on 16th of May, and the payment for this dividend will be due on the 15th of July 2021. So if you're a shareholder and you are having Bamburi last week, you'd probably be wondering why the stock is going down. You need to do a reanalysis and don't go on a panic selling, because at times you find that how markets usually behave is when books close for dividend consideration, then the stock would correct itself so as to not reflect the dividend. When the stock was trading at prices of about 40, it was trading because it had a premium, which was the dividend that was pegged into it. So that's one thing as well that I would just explain to you guys so that you can be able to understand as we move into it. Also, another thing that we noticed is that the 25 share index that we've also talked about was down. So the 25 and the 20 share index were mostly down because the components, some of the components of the 25 and the 20 share index were down within the week. On the positive edge, though, we're seeing a little bit of a price gain on companies like Nation Media. I believe a lot of times we've talked about NMG here and looking at prospects, and I know that's one thing that we've always been looking over to. So with NMG gaining about 10.63% within the week to close the week at about 16.65 shillings per share from 15.05 where it opened at on Monday. So that's one thing that I know investors are also really likely to be looking up to. Maybe just looking into, I know most of you have been wondering, I'm getting into the Safaricom story. I'm seeing a lot of guys already inquiring about when we're moving into the Safaricom story. We are going to move up to that in a bit. But then as we just look into it week on week, the performance of the market, the volumes of shares traded on the market was up about 14.9%. That is on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, with about 93.17 million shares trading as compared to the 81.09 million shares that were traded in the previous week. The equity turnover on the market was similarly up about 4.21%. With 3.18 billion worth of shares transacted as compared to the 3.05 billion which was transacted on week 19. So week 20 was technically a good week in terms of turnover and also in terms of activity. General activity, the mood on the market was, I think, fairly good for investors who are investing on the NSE. But also one thing that I would really want to mention, and I know we mentioned this the other time, is Safaricom still continues to dominate activity on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, because last week alone, Safaricom, which is a single stock, actually covered for about 81.5% of the week's traded value. So the market, the total market turnover is at 3.1 billion. And Safaricom is already moving 2.5 billion. To some extent, you wouldn't say, a lot of investors would say that this might not really be a risk, but it's like what we said earlier on, that if you have Safaricom, it seems you've diversified your portfolio, because it's usually said when you're diversifying a portfolio, you need to have a mix of about 80% of your investment. And if Safcom is moving about 81.49%, of the total market activity on the Nairobi Securities Exchange within a week, that becomes a little bit of a solid concern. I believe that's one thing. And so that's why a lot of guys have really been asking questions about thoughts on the splits of maybe Safaricom from M-Pesa. And probably the good thing is, if they split and then they list M-Pesa Africa on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, it would definitely be something as well for investors. It would definitely be something that investors would really be looking into. Looking at it throughout the week, Safcom led activity all throughout the week, because we're seeing all the way from 17th of May all the way to 21st. Safcom was the top traded counter on all those days, so technically another concern. But I believe if you have Safcom today, you really need to be in a positive mood, because on Saturday, Ethiopia granted license to the consortium that was led by Safaricom, giving access to the company to actually venture into Ethiopia. And how investors are reacting to this morning is Safcom is already up as we speaking. Safcom has touched 42 shillings per share, which is about 6.3% the price at which Safcom closed at last week. Looking at it from another standpoint, it's going to be a very, very good day for investors who are probably holding on to Safaricom as a company. Safcom has opened today at 39.50, and now it's already up at 42 shillings per share. Demand for Safcom is at about 1.91 million shares. So looking like a lot of guys are looking on buying. And on the supply side, we are seeing just about 381,000 shares for Safaricom. So that's also something as well that investors would also really be looking into as we go through during the day and during the week. I know that's something that investors would be looking into. Safcom's quantity, a bulk of the supply is really at about 41 shillings per share. So that is still a steady supply and a steady demand. And supply is just about high above 43. The first table supply we're seeing is at 42.95, which is 51,000. And also 43, we're seeing 89,900 shares within that. My outlook for Safcom today would really be just on an upside. The company is likely to continue rallying within the day and even within the week, because the potential that lies within Ethiopia is quite huge. The only challenge that investors would really need to understand is that we are not going to see returns from Ethiopia this year or next year. It might actually take as long as about 5 years before we start seeing returns. Outlook as stuff like the special dividend that Safcom has issued, we might not see that for quite some time, and we might see the usual dividend will continue, but the special dividend, they're likely to continue investing. They would rather reinvest that in Ethiopia, which is now the new market, than them putting that up in terms of special dividend, because technically what we're seeing here is the capital expenditure for Safaricom is going to go up. I think last week there was also news that Safaricom actually holds about 56% in the consortium that actually made a bid for Ethiopia. So still the liability still would really lie on Safcom. So it's something that I know investors are really going to be looking into. But it's interesting to see that also investors are having a little bit of high end positivity on the counter. Because if Safcom would hit as high as about 45, you're now seeing there's a new trend we're seeing. Safcom, Equity Bank, KCB, these are now in the banking sector, they're trading within the same price range at the moment. And actually, as we speak, KCB is down about 0.85% on the market, trading at about 40 shillings and 65 cents. So Safcom is actually trading above KCB. I think that is something as well that is going to be very interesting for investors. I know we'll continue to watch over this. On the market movers at the moment, we're seeing Absa leading in terms of activity with about, that is in terms of volumes that are trading on the market, about 140,000 shares traded on the market. Also, one thing for investors who are looking to buy or trade on Safaricom, just to calm down the hype, you might also want to look, because the volume of Safcom is pretty low today. We're only seeing 92,400 shares traded so far, but it's only 30 minutes into trading. So you might, if you want to sell, you might want to probably put your sell price a little bit higher. And if you want to buy, you might want to bid a little bit lower, so that we see just what market equilibrium are we going to get within the next few hours, probably by around 10:30 or 11. Would really be a good opportunity as well for investors to just give you guys, because you see another challenge that most retail investors have is that we buy based on news that we hear out there very often would you find retail investors really buying a stock based on probably a price action or something that they are considering to do. So an example is guys are buying Safcom because they've announced the news that Ethiopia announced the news that they would be moving, they've been granted the license to Ethiopia. An analyst, what you do is you do a little bit of an analysis. And we did this with Davis, where we said it's a high risk, high return market. What are the projections that we are likely expecting from Safaricom in Ethiopia? That would be something as well that as an investor, that's something you should definitely be looking to just have a little bit of an hold up on before you can be able to buy. So I would always advise your times. It's good to go with the flock at times on the market, because you can find an example is right now Safcom is at 42. Why are you buying it at 42? Those are questions that you need to ask yourself before you just place that trade on the market. You might want to just watch and see how are the bulk investors, the fund managers going to react. I know that data you might not have access to that data, but you might just want to know that the people who move a lot of these volumes on most of these companies are actually people who hold a stock in bulk. Most of them are fund managers or foreign investors. So that's one thing as well that we need to just really look into. How are they going to open up? So, because at the moment, we're seeing also the prices for Safcom. We're seeing supplies coming in hot at 42. Guys are building up. It's already up by about, while it's up still at 42, but we're seeing supply still increasing to about 400, demand going down to about 1.8 million. Most of this demand, to give you guys a good overview, is most of this demand of the 1.8 million, 431,000 is at 40.10, and we're seeing 346,000 also indicated at 40, that's 40 flat. So technically, I would still urge, if you want to bid on Safcom today, you might want to bid at prices of probably about 41 for now, but continue monitoring. One thing that I would also encourage retail investors is at any point, it's always good for you to just try and also just probably bid on the market. Don't go into the market and buy immediately. Look on what levels, what bids do we have, what offers do we have. Then from there, you can be able to just recalibrate your order and constantly monitor. If you put in your order today, the whole day, every 10 or 15 minutes, you should be monitoring your order and seeing if it's gone through, if there are any changes on the market. Those are things that you can actually be able to just move in through. I talked about KCB earlier on, and we're seeing KCB is trading at about 40 shillings and 75 cents. Supply is at 41 and demand is at 40 and 75. Total demand for KCB today is at about 150,000 shares. Total supply is at 206,000 shares. For Equity Bank, which is another company that we would really be looking into, Equity Bank, we're seeing demand is at about 191 and supply is at about 111. So I guess with that information, you can be able to just gauge what level we're going into. Equity demand is at about 41.55, supply is at 42. For those of you who've not seen the Standard Chartered results that have been released today, Standard Chartered has released their Q1 results, and we're seeing the net interest income is down about 2%, the loan loss provision down as well, and we expect the loan loss provision to go within, for many companies, we're likely to expect a little bit of a decline in the loan loss provision. Also, we're seeing the loan and advances down about 6%, customer deposits increase, and generally the profit after tax for Standard Chartered is up about 20%. So I still think banks are still likely to make more money. So other companies and other sectors you can look into. For those of you who are looking on investing on the company, on the NSE, other places that you can be able to look into would really be the banking sector as well. So that's one thing I know that investors would really be looking into over time. So as you buy Safcom and as you buy all these other companies, you might want to also look onto the banking sector. Last week on the Top Gainer, We're seeing Uchumi supermarkets come up about 13% to 0.26 on the market. Maybe you guys can just share your thoughts. What is it that you think about Uchumi as a company? Because personally for me, I think Uchumi is one of those companies that, and this is my personal opinion, doesn't necessarily reflect the opinions for those of us here at HISA, is Uchumi as a company should definitely should possibly either make a U-turn on the operation so as to give investors more returns, or they should close shop. I don't know what you guys think. BOC Kenya, which was week 19's top loser, was actually up during the week about 5.81%. We're still waiting for a little bit of activity on the exchange or about the BOC and CAB ASID activity. I know that's one thing that we'd be looking into as well. Last week, one thing that I'd want to mention again is last week, Copbank actually released their Q1 results as well. Copbank and Stanbic Bank. So Copbank, we're seeing the profit after tax for the company was down 3.7% to about 3.5 billion. In Q1 2020, the company actually posted a return of about 3.6 billion. So 3.5 might be a little bit flat, but also at the same time, that's a considerable decline, which the bank actually attributed to higher provisioning. So we really hope that we generally, if the provisions are slightly higher, then technically means that they're just covering for a little before in case of the loan loss bit where we talked about earlier on. So they're just trying to cover for that bit, but looks like it's slightly stable. The total interest income for the company was up in Q1 about 27.6% to about to 13.5 billion. So that's one thing as well that Copbank is actually coming in hot with. So for Copbank, the main things that I think as an investor you really need to look into is the loan loss provision, the NFI, which is the non-funded income, something that we need to look into as well, was down about 9.2%. The operating expenses, that is excluding the provisions, was up about 27%. So we'll continue to look on to Copbank. We'll continue monitoring just how the bank itself would really be performing. But just to give you guys a brief of how Cooperative Bank is performing right now on the market, is, and let me just load that up. Okay, Copbank is trading at around 12 shillings and 30 cents. That's also another company that you guys might want to really look into. Demand for Copbank is at about 269,000, and supply is at about 161,000 on the market. So Copbank's demand, most of it is at 1210, and supply is at starting from 12.45, that's 12 shillings and 45 cents per share. So that's also another company that you might really want to look into as we go through trading on the market during this week's session. Absa, on the other hand as well, Absa's Q1 results were also slightly impressive, and I think we saw that in activity, we saw that really push a little bit of activity on Absa. So that's one thing that we would also really continue really looking into. Absa's had a 23.7% growth for Q1 in profit after tax. Very impressive as compared to Cooperative Bank, where we're seeing there was a 3.7% decline. So that's one thing as well that we'd really be looking into. On Absa, the total interest income was down about 0.3%. We're seeing the income from government securities was down as well about 1.8%. The total interest expense was also down about 17.7%. And loan loss provisions for Absa grew by about 24.9% to 1.4 billion Kenya shillings. So slightly low, because last year we saw Absa really grow in their loan loss provision by about 75.2%. That was in Q1 in the previous year. So that's one thing as well that we'd really be looking into as well. A company that a lot of guys had actually were also looking into, the activity that guys would really be looking into, was stuff like, I know Absa, and today we are seeing Standard Chartered here. We'll be waiting. We're really looking on how NCBA, KCB, and Equity Bank would really be performing. DTB is not really on my watch, but that could be something as well that guys would really be watching in as we proceed with various activities on the market, and also with a lot of guys who are coming in on the market always trying to trade and trying to move in on the market. So as guys really move during today's trading session, I would always encourage you guys to have a little bit of an overview. Don't overthink trading on the market. Safcom's activity is still low. Even as we end today's session, the volume on the market is at about 196,300. Absa still follows. Kengen is coming in today, and Kenya Power, and then Kenya Reinsurance Corporation, that's Kenya Re, with just about 24,000 shares traded on the market. So still there's a little bit of, it's still too early to call shots, as we always do, but it's still slightly early to call shots with today's trading session. So we'd leave that to you guys to continue, but just ensure that as you buy, even if you're buying on the high end or on the low end, you might really want to just watch on what volumes and probably what is the demand and what is the supply that is moving on the market. So that's it for today's session. If you have any questions, concerns or comments, always feel free. This podcast will be available on Hisa, so you can be able to comment directly under the podcast on Hisa app. You can definitely just comment, give us a shout out if there's anything that you'd want us to improve on. And don't forget to be ready, because we are launching trading through Hisa in the next few weeks. So I know we've been saying that for a long time, for about 3 or 4 weeks now, we've been saying we are launching it in the next few weeks. So don't worry, in the next few weeks, we're in that final bit where trading through the Hisa app is going to, we are definitely going to be able to give you guys an opportunity to trade, not only on the local market, but also on various markets globally. So that's one thing you might really be able to probably start getting accustomed to the Hisa app. A lot of features and activities coming in with the next update. Thank you all, and have a lovely week ahead. Bye-bye.